Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. And now, senores y señores del Brasil and UFC fans watching around the world, live from the sold-out HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's time!
But we're here.
Hey, you here?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, cool. Now. I'm here too. Awesome.
Yeah, so I know we're a little couple days late here, but we had some things to take care of earlier in the week. But we're here to bring you another edition of Hot Takes. And how's your week been so far? I know you were sick on Sunday and stuff. So how you feeling?
Oh, a lot better. It's been kind of crazy, but I guess for both of us. But hoping finally we can get this out of the way and back on track.
Yeah, most definitely. I know we have a lot to talk about tonight. I guess we should get going here with some hot picks from last week.
All right, yeah. What do we got first?
First up, we had number 20 Duke at number 5 North Carolina. That was last Wednesday. We both picked North Carolina, but Duke actually pulled out the 1-point victory. A team that was kind of, it looked like they were going to have a tough time making the NCAA tournament. It looks like they've turned it all around now and should get in pretty easily, the defending champions. So looks like they're going to be back. They played really great game against North Carolina. The end of the game was something really ugly, but hey, a win's a win, and Duke needed that win, and it was a big win for Duke going in.
Just talk about resilient. They were essentially playing with five guys after Matt Jones got injured. You got to see a little Chase Jeter, though, so that was cool. But they were just, I guess, as resilient as can be, especially with North Carolina dominating on the inside like they were. Bryce Johnson was just a beast. Had 18 and 11 just in the first half. But, Duke just seemed to hang around all game, knock some shots down when they needed to. And, yeah, you're right. They're kind of back on a tear after losing, I think it was 3 in a row a little while back.
Yeah, it definitely was. And Grayson Allen had a pretty rough day from the field. He shot 7 to 18. So Brandon Ingram did as well, 7 to 21. But they both had 20 points, hit some big free throws, and went 12 of 14 combined. And it was really the way that the game turned out and helped Duke get the victory, because their free throws, they were able to hit them, and North Carolina was able to hit theirs as well. But 3-point shots and the free throws for Duke are what did in North Carolina. North Carolina's 1 for 13 from three. Duke went 7 of 19 from three. So when you can have that much of a differential from beyond the arc, it really helps your team get a victory.
Yeah. As good as Bryce Johnson was, North Carolina's shooters couldn't get anything going really at all. Marcus Paige and Joel Berry were only had 7 and 8 points. It's hard to pull it off when you've really only got, I mean, one guy's playing great, but you need other guys to hit shots, which kind of ended up doing them in there at the end. I mean, they it just seemed like they kept trying to go inside and to dominate, but Duke had finally decided enough is enough and started collapsing in to stop it. But North Carolina had nowhere to have an outlet to knock down a shot, which I guess we got to talk about why I got the final seconds there. I mean, why no timeout there?
Yeah, I don't know. It actually, a lot of teams seem to do it now. They just let their team play, and I don't know if that's what Roy Williams did. I know a lot of coaches are going with name just slipped me, but it was a coach that used the philosophy. Phil Jackson, of course. It was Phil Jackson used the philosophy of let your teams get yourself out of the hole that they dug them in. I don't know if you want to do the same for guys in college, but that seemed what Roy Williams did, and I think it kind of cost them. One other note is Marcus Page has really been struggling shooting the ball this year. 2 of 10, 0 of 6 from three in the game. He is not shooting the ball well at all. He's actually shooting the ball 40% from the field right now, and North Carolina is going to need him to make some shots if they want to be in the Final Four and possibly the championship game.
Yeah, they need all their shooters. You can't rely just on the front court to get the job done. And Duke showed it, even on the road, Marcus Page, and Justin Jackson too, also has gone through his own struggles and slumps. They really need to get some consistency out of those guys if they're going to make a deep run. I mean, it seems like this would be a team to do it, but they haven't really shown that. Nobody really has. It's kind of insane the amount of losses at the top of the polls.
Yeah, most definitely. Bryce Johnson has been spectacular this year, but yeah, he's going to need some help from his perimeter guys to be where a lot of people think they could be at the end of the season, and that is competing for the championship.
That's about all I got on that. Anything else you got to say?
No, I think that was all I had. Duke actually, in their next game, they played Louisville and wasn't able to hold on, so they're kind of still up and down a little bit. They need to be a little more consistent, but I like their chances come tournament time.
No, definitely. And we actually do get one more of these Duke North Carolina games, so that's going to be fun to look forward to also.
Yeah, most definitely. It should be a good time. It'll be in Duke next time, Cameron Indoor Stadium, so it'll be fun.
Yep. All right. Well, next game we had in college was at the time, number 3 Oklahoma taking on number 10 West Virginia. Oklahoma had actually lost against Texas Tech to make it 3 out of 4 before kind of righting the ship here against West Virginia. And the loss actually gave West Virginia 3 out of 4 losses until beating Iowa State the other night. But overall, I mean, it was kind of another same story for Oklahoma. Buddy Hield was just great, 29 points. Just couldn't be stopped. What did you think?
Yeah, he actually outscored the West Virginia starters by himself, 29-23. And when you have one player be able to outscore the rest of – or the other team's starters, it's going to be a good night for you. And it was for Oklahoma. Probably should have been a little more than 14, but they pulled it out, and it was a good game. And even though Oklahoma didn't shoot the ball very well, I mean, not what they usually do. They shot at 40%, but they still got the big victory and avenged their loss to West Virginia earlier in the year. And I know West Virginia was actually a sleeper team coming in. I think the Big 12 is probably the best conference in the nation this season. But West Virginia has a hard time scoring the ball. They can defend with anyone, but they really have a tough time scoring the ball. And I think that that's a recipe for going out early in the tournament. And they just don't have that guy that they can go to and rely on them offensive end.
Yeah. For this game, they're also missing Daxter Miles, whose hamstrings hurt still. That obviously doesn't help either. It's when it comes to the Big 12, obviously it's yet again, it kind of Kansas separated themselves, but then right after them, you've got 2, 3, 4 good quality teams. But West Virginia is just probably at the lower end there in this race to the finish.
Yeah. And also, the Big 12 has been beating themselves up, and that's going to lead to a 12th straight Big 12 title for the Kansas Jayhawks. So still no one to take down the Jayhawks in the Big 12, even though there have been good enough teams to do it in the past. Kansas just always finds a way.
It's okay. I have full confidence in Shaka Smart.
Yeah, me too. Need a little bit.
Eventually, get that done.
Yeah, I think eventually someone's going to knock them off. It has to happen eventually, and I really think that next year Texas. I know we're already talking about next year, but Texas is going to be one of the top teams in the Big 12. They've actually surprised me more this year, or better than what I thought they were going to be coming in. So it's really giving me a silver lining here of what to expect from Shaka and the Longhorns basketball team.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy for you. Because I have no such prospects at the moment. But anyway, anything else on Oklahoma, West Virginia?
No, I think we can move on to our other two picks. We both picked Oklahoma in that matchup as well. So both got that one right. But,
all right, so 1-1 each.
Yep, 1-1 each.
All right, well, let's keep going with what we got here. We had NBA next. Had a couple picks in those. Getting back into action after the All-Star break. First up was Warriors-Clippers. It was the Warriors' second game after the break, of course, after just kind of getting destroyed by Damian Lillard. And pretty much just Damian Lillard alone.
Kinda. What do you mean?
What was that?
They got... I said kinda.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
No,
they
it
got,
was, yeah.
They got obliterated.
32 points. Yeah, it was bad. But anyway, yeah, they were able to get back on track against the Clippers. Clippers have obviously... have the whole Blake Griffin issue, but had been playing pretty well lately. But of course, when the Warriors are focused, especially trying to refocus after a loss, you're not going to beat them. Klay Thompson had 32, Steph added 23, Draymond had his NBA leading 11th triple double. It just. Warriors still good.
Yeah, one thing about that, though, is the Clippers almost tied that game. I was actually watching that game. The Warriors had I believe it was 115-106 lead with about 20 seconds left. And Clippers made it very interesting. They actually had a shot at the end after stealing the inbounds pass to tie the game. C.J. Wilcox should have probably gave it up to one of the wide-open guys behind the three-point line, but – kind of just threw it up, and it didn't go in, didn't even come close. And the Warriors were able to get their 50th win of the season. So, Yeah, they're just rolling.
Yeah, Warriors starters came back in pretty quick there at the end. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, and
we should probably make sure we win this game.
Yeah, they came right in, turned it over, though, and, Jeff Green was standing wide open on the wing, and if Wilcox would have seen him, I think we probably would have seen overtime. But you never know. Warriors got that game, and they moved on, and they're still rolling. Steph Curry was kind of, since the All-Star break, has been a little cold for his standards, but he kind of put that to rest tonight when they played the Heat, so looks like he's back in form now. I don't know what else I can say about the Warriors.
What do you think about the – I have a quick question. What do you think about the it's kind of hard to explain, but, like, maybe you've heard about it in the last couple of days, like, the perception of, like, we should probably be hating Steph Curry more than we are for the things that he's doing and, like, some of the actions that he's making on the court. Like, the other night –
shimmying against the Hawks.
Shaking in front of the bench and stuff like that.
I mean, all I have to say about that is stop him. If you don't want him to do it, stop him. It's pretty much it. It's pretty much the Cam Newton rule. If you don't want to see him dance and celebrate, stop him. And when you do stop him, you're going to get results like you got Cam Newton after the Super Bowl. Very tough. It's hard to stop a guy who can pull up from 35 and drain it, but.
He just must be a heck of a nice guy, like, off the court, because some of the things he does just look straight disrespectful.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with he's not big. He's not the biggest guy. He's definitely not the most athletic guy. He kind of gives hope to guys that aren't exactly, quote-unquote, the NBA-type player. I mean, a lot of people didn't see him being able – definitely didn't see him being an MVP, but definitely didn't see him be able to do what he's doing. And he's proven them wrong, and I think that it's easy to get it behind a guy like that.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I also think it's just really fun. The whole team is just really fun to watch. It's just something we've never seen before. And, I mean, yeah, and like you said, we've gotten to a point where celebration in pretty much all sports is kind of part of the fun, part of the excitement. Like, you're doing amazing stuff out there. Why not have fun with it and be happy that you're doing it? And world that you realize how tough it is.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with the younger players coming in. We got Shimmy in basketball after making shots. We have the dab after touchdowns. We have the bat flips in baseball, and I think it's just a turning point in sports right now. And I like it. I think it shows emotion and gives players characters. And also, to your point about we've never seen something like this, we've definitely never seen a jump shooting team be able to win like this. Teams that have been dominant in the past are teams that drive the hole and are able to make points in the paint, not teams that can just shoot the ball like they can. And I think it's something easy to get behind. Now, if they start winning 3 championships in a row or something like that, I think we're going to see a little change in that. But as of right now, I think it's fun to watch.
Right. Have all the fun with it you can. It's really been quite a spectacle. I guess last for our NBA games, we had the Cavs and the Thunder. Not too much. If you want to throw some thoughts out there, Kevin Love kind of went off.
Yeah, basically, Thunder didn't come out, didn't seem to really have any, I don't want to say any desire to win. They just, They didn't seem to take it as big of a game as the Cavs were taking it. Cavs were very shorthanded. Kyrie ended up having to leave. Mon Shumpert didn't play. Mo Williams didn't play. And the Cavs, and also newly acquired Channing Frye didn't play. And Yeah, and they just took apart the Thunder. Thunder didn't defend at all. And the Cavs just had one of those games, and they were able to pull out a big victory, 115-92. And Thunder have a little work to do still. I still think they can compete with the teams in the West, but oddly, I think if they were somehow able to get past that, they're going to have a lot of struggles with the Cavs. I think the Cavs match up really good with them, and LeBron has KD's number.
Yeah, it would definitely seem like that. But yes, I mean, as far as for this game, yeah, Oklahoma City just didn't really play their game. They got out rebounded. That usually doesn't happen. Serge Ibaka only had 3 rebounds. That's obviously not going to get it done. Another question. You wouldn't happen to have seen a video of Dion Waiters' lowlights from that game, would you?
I watched the whole game, so I saw all the lowlights.
So you saw all the plays? Okay. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It was funny because I was watching it, and I just thought it was like going to be a collection of, like, plays over, like, you know, just over the course of this season. But no, they just kept showing plays from the same game, this game. And I was like, yeah.
No, he actually was playing really well, starting to fit in really nicely with All-Star break. They come out of the All-Star break. He goes 0-14 in the 2 games out of the All-Star break. Was turning it over, didn't want the ball in his hands. He mishandled an easy fast break layup that Kevin Durant tried to get him going a little bit, but he didn't want the ball in his hands, and it wasn't good. He actually shot really well tonight, though, 5 of 8 from the field, 4 of 6 from beyond the arc for 14 points. So I don't know. I mean, cold streaks happen in basketball, and maybe that's just
right.
What he was in at the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the talent's obviously there. He just, yeah.
Yeah, people are saying he's
not.
Find
some sort of center or consistency.
Yeah, people are saying he's not an NBA player, and I just, that's kind of ridiculous to me. He's definitely an NBA player. No, he's not. I don't think he's a starter in the league, but if you can have him be a sixth man coming off your bench, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, there's definitely a place for him.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Somewhere.
So.
All right. Well, let's. What was your upset? Let's kind of get through these real quick.
My upset was Syracuse over Louisville. Louisville actually won 72-58 and pretty much controlled the game from start to finish.
All right. I had Arizona State over Arizona, and that went about just as well.
Lost by 38.
Arizona State had two of their first 4 shots blocked, and that was about it. 99-61. Yep, it was the second. Actually, here's a little fun fact: second largest margin of victory in the history of the entire series between the two schools. So, yeah,
ouch.
Went good for me too.
Ouch. Yeah. Well, I don't know how long. There's not really much to say about those 2 games, I guess. So we actually ended the week. I went 2-3. Of course, 0-1 on my upsets. You were 3-2, 0-1 on your upset. You have a 5-game lead now. You're 20-14. I'm 15-19. Both of us are 3-3 in our upsets. So should be an interesting going forward.
Yeah, getting closer.
Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up our hot picks from last week. Something I really want to get into now is UFC 196. I know we have some other things to talk about, but I really want to make sure we get this in. I know we could talk about it next week since the fight's next weekend, but we had a big change.
Yeah, because we had a change of card.
Yeah, huge change. Rafael Dos Anjos broke his foot, or I don't know if he broke it, but he hurt it pretty bad. I saw pictures on his Instagram, and that thing is bigger than my leg. So, yeah, I can see why he can't fight in a couple of weeks. So, Dana White actually came on SportsCenter last night, announced a new matchup. There were a lot of names floating around: Anthony Pettis, Donald Cerrone, Frankie Edgar, Jose Aldo, and even Nate Diaz. And Nate Diaz became the winner of the sweepstakes. So it's going to be a lot of trash talking going forward. Conor McGregor has made a name for himself talking trash and backing it up inside the octagon. And Nate Diaz is one of the best trash talkers and isn't going to be scared of what Conor McGregor has to bring. I think it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be at 170. Conor McGregor is the 145 champ, and they're going to be fighting two weight classes above what he normally fights at. So it's going to be interesting to see how he puts on the weight. That's what he walks around at. Nate Diaz is going to have the reach and the height advantage, a big reach and height advantage. And, of course, he can throw punches and bunches, but going into that matchup, I really hope that Diaz doesn't play into that game and takes him down, because if one thing Conor McGregor has kind of seemed to have a hole in his game, it's on the ground. And of course, Nate Diaz is a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and I think if he could get him to the ground, he might be able to submit him. And yeah, I think that's where he needs to take it, because while Nate Diaz can throw a lot of punches, Conor McGregor has that one knockout power, one punch knockout power, and I don't know if Nate really wants to mess with that too much.
No, yeah, I think if he feels like the advantage is there, it'd be smart to try and get him to the ground. You don't want to, unfortunately, get caught like Jose Aldo unfortunately did, because it can happen. But no, yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting. There's a few matchups that you could like better than that right now. And it's going to be interesting to see if Conor McGregor can take this into new weight classes and try and hold multiple titles. It'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it would. Not sure how much he could actually challenge for the welterweight title, but hey, he shut me up before. He could definitely do it again. He's earned my respect inside the octagon, that's for sure. He can definitely fight, but outside of the octagon, that's a different story. I think he's gone a little too far, talking about nationalities and races and things like that, and I think that's going a little far. But hey, he backs it up and he does what he needs to do. It's gonna be a red panty night, in his words, so should be interesting. I definitely think the UFC went with him because went with Nate Diaz because of the prospects of the trash talking and being able to sell the fight. Because Nate Diaz is going to be right there along with him talking the trash. And I definitely don't think that he's going to let McGregor get in his head, and I don't think he's going to jump at him like Jose Aldo did right off the bat. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Any other fight you want to look forward to on that card in particular? Or?
Well, definitely the women's bantamweight championship. Holly Holm, woman who landed the head kick heard around the world that knocked out Ronda Rousey, should be taking on Rousey's longtime rival, Miesha Tate. And I think that's going to be a great matchup. And I'm really looking forward to that one as well. So it should be a great card. And we can definitely talk about this more next
definitely
week when we get closer to it. So.
All right, cool. Well, we're starting to head into our home stretch. So, what do you want next? We got, what's up?
Also, don't forget Michael Bisping, Anderson Silva this weekend, Saturday. Should be fun.
Yeah, that's right. Got to check that out. Hopefully, no more leg breaks.
Yeah. Please no.
Right. Okay. Okay. So, got a few things we can talk about before we wrap up with our picks. I guess let's start with this Dante Fowler business. Kind of starting to feel sorry for the guy. gets drafted number 3 overall by the Jaguars, which, you know, could be take that however you would want, I guess, but immediately tears his ACL, misses his rookie season, and now he's got this incident where apparently his the mother of his child and his current girlfriend got into a verbal argument that turned physical and was caught on camera, and he kind of just watched him go at it for a while before finally breaking him up after it had kind of settled down. What do you think about this whole thing? Yeah.
Well, I guess just, I mean, I don't know, just kind of growing up. That's, I mean, we're from the same place. That's pretty much how people handled the business. When two people wanted to fight, they fought. And, you just can't really do that when you're an NFL player. You can't sit by and let them fight, especially if it's on camera. Do it inside your house at least. But
something.
Yeah, it was not. That's something you let happen in high school, not when you're a mid-20s, early-20s player and you're in the midst of your career or trying to get your career going. It's a bad look, and like you said, I kind of feel bad for him too, because I don't think he really meant anything by it. Who knows what was going on before that? Who knows how long this has been escalating, and how long it really took place? I mean, we kind of don't really know how long they were fighting, so I just I don't know. I definitely
obviously.
But.
I see, and that's the problem. The NFL already came out with their statement calling the images quote unquote disturbing or whatever. I mean, it's upsetting because it makes you feel like they're going to punish him somehow for something that he really didn't do. I mean, he wasn't involved in the fight. It seemed like the parties involved in the fight were totally consenting about it, and I don't know, but yeah, we don't know the details. The video doesn't look doesn't put him necessarily in the best light, but it's not damning evidence or anything of him doing anything wrong per se either. So I don't know. It just feels, I feel like he's going to kind of get screwed in this somehow, for something that, yeah, just probably shouldn't have happened. Especially not in the view of a camera, but you know, that's the world we live in now. And unfortunately that's the, things NFL players got to worry about.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't, like you said, he wasn't involved in the fight. I don't know, maybe you can help me out here, but I just don't get why a video or photos matter so much more than just a report of something happening. It kind of disturbs me a little bit that we need video and to actually see it to realize the severity of it. I mean, I think if we didn't have a video of this and we just came out and it was just in a report that two females got in a fight, NFL stars sat by and watched, I don't think as many people would be as offended by it. And I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, yeah, different when you can see things happening and you have people telling you, oh, that these images may be disturbing. It's open to interpretation, but I mean, who knows? I'm not sure. I haven't seen if there's like actually any criminal charges or anything being filed or anything in this matter, but if there isn't, I don't see why, I don't see a reason for anybody to be punished. So hopefully it all works out for him, and hopefully he actually gets on the field and starts playing up to his draft position.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for him right now, is just to try and get on the field and ignore all the things that are going on around him. He can't really do anything at this point. So I hope that this gets resolved pretty fast and he doesn't have to worry about it all through camp. And I know he's going to get a lot of questions, and teammates are going to get a lot of questions about it going into the end of next year.
Yeah, shoot, even probably OTAs and stuff once that gets started. But all right, so I guess staying in the NFL, we've also got the combine going on this week. A lot of players doing medicals and stuff early this week, so they can do the workouts this weekend. I've grown to enjoy watching the combine workouts. It's kind of fun. I don't know. You all these guys you've been hearing about or reading about all year, and you finally get to kind of see them up close and see what they can do physically. And I find it really interesting. How about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't know how much of it I'll be able to watch. Got work and some other things, but definitely be keeping up with it through Twitter and things like that. So I'm pretty excited. Definitely it's a time to see what your team can bring to the future, and it should be fun. A couple of guys that I'm really keeping a close eye on are Paxton Lynch from Memphis, the quarterback, Vernon Hargraves from Florida, the corner, Jalen Ramsey, the corner / safety from Florida State. Those are three guys that I want the Eagles to take, but not sure if two of those guys with Ramsey and Hargraves will be there at the time. I think Paxton Lynch should be there, but it should definitely be interesting. I know they have them taking an offensive lineman at this point, but mock drafts are going to change so much in the coming weeks. So it should be interesting to see. And also to see if anyone can break that 40 record that Chris Johnson set. So that'll be fun to watch. The 40 is always it's always a good time when you get those skill positions running it.
Yeah, the one thing that I always kind of find most upsetting about the combine is when you get the guys that you want to see do things most opt out. For instance, I mean, shoot, half the QBs that are going to be at the combine might not even be throwing at the combine. So what's the point? They're just there to to do things that you don't really care if a quarterback can do that well. We always see the famous tape of Tom Brady's combine and how laughably looked. But nobody cares about the quarterbacks if they're not throwing. A quarterback that I am actually interested to see is Dak Prescott. These last few days he's kind of been getting a little bit of hype. I don't know if this is just kind of a push by him and his people to try and get drafted, or if you know, teams actually do like him. But it's going to be interesting to see if he can, you know, it's always interesting, somebody who can add that element of the run game and has that playmaking ability, maybe they can make that jump to the next level. But as far as guys that won't be doing stuff, I've already, Laquon Treadwell is not running the 40, Corey Coleman's not running the 40, so, you know, that's going to not be so great. But you always find out about some guys that you've never heard about, and they do some crazy things, and that's going to be cool too. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I definitely going along with that. I think pro days have really kind of eliminated guys from doing things at the combine. I think they save it for their pro days because, I mean, they have a little bit of advantage being at their own place and being able to do it in front of people.
Yeah, and they can get they get that extra time to train, and they also, yeah, they also get the benefit of their own stopwatches. timekeepers. But all right, looks like we're got about, I think got about 5 minutes left. So anything else you want to talk about before we get these new picks off?
Nope. Just basically Tiger Woods had reports that he could barely walk and barely move and was in a bunch of pain. He actually sent out a tweet and Instagram post today of him taking swings with the golf club. So that was definitely encouraging for a guy that I would
I did see that.
Get back into what he's best at, and that's hitting the golf ball.
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't look like he was, I mean, it definitely looked like the swing was comfortable and that he wasn't as in as much pain as those reports made it out to be. So, yeah, it looks, I'm cautiously optimistic once again, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah, I definitely won't be playing at the Masters. I don't think we'll see him until the Open, so I think that's going to be the first event. He might take some swings at a couple of smaller events before that, but I think the Open's going to be the first major that he plays in this season. I definitely don't think that the Masters is realistic for him.
Yeah, he should definitely by no means rush himself. There's been too many setbacks to have another one. So yeah, he gets back and back at it. So all right, well, let's see, what do we got here for our picks? We got a bunch of college games. We did not do Nova Xavier because they ended up playing tonight. What was that game that we had switched it to?
The Cavaliers and Raptors this Friday night. Should be a pretty good game, the top two teams in the East. So it should be interesting to see if Toronto can hang with the Cavs, a team that a lot of people think is just going to run through the Eastern Conference playoffs.
All right, well, that kind of defeats where I was going with the college games, but that's fine. Let's do the NBA games first. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Cavs there. They seem like now they've got their coach and everything in order. They seem they're finally getting some sort of a chemistry and a rhythm together. If Kevin Love can stay contributing with lots of points, then, and Kyrie Irving can keep away from bed bugs, then I think the Cavs will be just fine cruising their way deep into the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you said. I definitely think the Cavs are the top in the East, but I really like Toronto at home, and I'm going to go with Toronto by a 1-point victory in this one. Just because they're in Toronto, and yeah, that's basically it.
All right. Well, the other NBA game we had was Thunder Warriors. I think the Thunder pull this out. I think they need this win. I think Russell Westbrook's going to have to have a gigantic game, but I think he is, and it's gonna be the Thunder.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I think Russell Westbrook really takes liking the matchups against guys like Steph Curry, another great point guard. So I definitely think he's going to be on his A game, and the Thunder really need a big victory over a top team. Let's just kind of speed
all right
these next two here.
Yeah, all right, UNC, Virginia.
I'm going to go Virginia in this one. Just don't like the way UNC's
all right, I'm taking UNC. I'm taking UNC. I think they get it back on track.